You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Tony Cincata, Corey Parson, Greg Sussman with you. Getting into some baseball, and another guy that was listed on that poll was Michael Wacha. I find him to be a very interesting name year in and year out, Tony. Because Wacha, like, has the pedigree and the stuff that, like, he should be good, right? He should be, like, a fantasy number two. And he's not. And he's always injured, and the numbers are kind of there. The peripherals are never really that good. Michael Wacha, last night, in the FSTA draft. Where the hell did he go? Where did Wacha go? Hold on. Did he not get drafted? I don't think Michael Wacha got drafted last night. Is that possible?
Yeah, there's a chance that he could be coming out of the bullpen this season. So that's how far he has fallen with the Cardinals organization. Last year, pitched 138 innings. The year prior to that was 17-game winner, 181 innings. But from a fantasy perspective, I guess the one thing is that where you really look at him and he never come through on a promise is the K per 9 rate. Like, it's right. 7.43, 7.59. So he's never one of those guys that from a fantasy perspective was alluring because he just didn't have the strikeouts.
Currently, their rotation, according to their own website, projected with Adam Wainwright up top, followed by Carlos Martinez, Mike Leake, Lance Lynn, and Alex Reyes as the fifth starter with Wacha in the bullpen. So that's why he wasn't drafted. You know, injuries happen. So I'm sure we'll see Wacha in the starting rotation at some point. But very interesting that Wacha really went from prize prospect to now back in that bullpen.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to turn your mic on, man.
It's amazing, right? When you think about Michael Wacha, people wait, and now all of a sudden. But we see a lot of guys that have this opportunity and then end up being very good. He was a 19th pick in the draft.
19th pick in the draft. There you go with him.
25 still.
How is he only 25 still?
Yeah, he's only 25 years old.
Corey, try to talk now. Alex Reyes. He is a young prospect, obviously. Had a steroid issue, right? Was it steroid or other drugs before they got suspended for?
I lose track of all these drugs, of which ones they're using. Now we've got to a place where we have to go and figure out what kind of drugs they are. Are they performance enhancing or recreational?
I don't know. That's amazing. We have to break it down. But he is somebody that... He is somebody that has unbelievable stuff. Second half, people liked him, picked him up last year. And he was the only one. There were actually two members of the Cardinals rotation with how injured they were that people picked up. Forgetting who the other one was, of course. One was Alex Reyes, and the other one, who the hell was this guy? I owned him on my team last year. Hold on, now I got to go to the 40-man roster and look at it.
Reyes is one of those guys in daily fantasy circles that you love because when he comes up late in the season, right, he's minimum priced. He can strike people out. Now, the problem, the negative here, is going to be the walks, all right?
Right.
He's going to strike people out at the major league level. The walks are a problem. Last year, 4.5 walks per 9, and his strand rate was 88%, which is huge. I mean, Major League Baseball is around 72-73%. So he got lucky last year, and you see that 1.57 ERA? His xFIP was really 4.05. So he got lucky in that short 45 innings because of the walks that he allowed. If that happens at the major league level, it's not going to turn out the way it did last year.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll pick in this guy, though. I'll draft this guy.
Where are you drafting him, Tony? I'm sorry, Corey. Okay, where are you drafting him, Tony?
I think I can wait till late. I think I can go like double digit, like 14th, 15th round. I think that he'll fall down in those drafts.
He went in the 11th last night, for the record.
Okay. And that's a 13-team league, right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So that's about the same.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could get him right around there.
Exactly what you're saying.
He's a guy with tremendous upside there, the whip. And I don't like picking guys that walk people. And so you can't put too many of these pitchers on your roster. He'd be the one guy that a little later that I would take a risk for, even at the minor league level. It's not like 45 innings he pitched at the major league level, small samples. Like even the minor league level, he walked people.
Yeah, and that's going to be the trouble, because you want to be able to control that, because walking batters can get you in trouble a lot. But his ability to miss bats is big time, and if you get a guy like that in that 12, 13-round range, I think you got to pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, I like that, too, because the upside is there for him. And I'm looking now at the Cardinals team, right? The Cardinals depth chart, for instance.
What you see?
They got a lot of starting pitching that I like, right? You know, Wainwright's Wainwright. You have Carlos Martinez. Mike Leake's there. Lance Lynn's come back from injury. You have Alex Reyes. You have Waka in the bullpen.
Luke Weaver.
And that was the guy I was talking about last year that I picked up, Luke Weaver. He was pretty good, Tone.
Yeah, he's another guy with expectations now. I think Reyes is a guy that people are looking at as a guy that's going to be a stud. Now, Weaver, we used him last year, and I don't know. You have Adam Wainwright, right?
Yes.
This kid was a 27th pick in the draft. So do they come out with both these guys in the rotation, or they wait for Wainwright or someone to get an injury and keep the innings down on this guy? Weaver was terrible in his major league 36 innings last year. His ERA was almost 6. But throw it out the window. The guy can pitch. The problem is he should start in the minors. Mm-hmm. He's only pitched 6 innings at Triple-A level.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He's going to have to start the season in Triple-A. To hone his skills, get some more work on some of his secondary stuff. Then I think at some point this season he'll get a chance in the big league. So Weaver's not a guy that you want to really look at on draft day, but definitely a player to target on your watch list. Put a star next to his name, because he's a guy that could be coming up in that St. Louis Cardinal rotation. But he's going to need some more honings. I don't see him on the opening day roster.
Hey, Corey.
Yo.
So I look at the Cardinals, right?
You tend to think they're better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. I look at the starting, especially the starting pitching. Like, forget the hitting, right? But I see a starting pitcher for the Cardinals, like, this guy's going to end up being pretty good.
Yeah, because they seem to have that Midas touch.
Yes.
You know, so I think sometimes we take pedigree in the situation when we're ranking these players. You see pitchers from the St. Louis Cardinals, you'll be like, okay, at some point he's going to get it together and I'm going to want a piece of him on my fantasy team, because we've seen it time and time and time again.
Exactly. And you know what's really even more interesting than that? Like last year, I used that exact strategy. I drafted Mike Leake. I had to drop Mike Leake because he was so horrible, Tone, after the first 2 months of the season. I dropped him and he knew he was going to be good. And just after I dropped him.
Yeah, the problem with guys like Leake, though, is that when you put that many balls in play and you don't strike people out,
right,
you're going to get in a rut and bad things are going to happen. And that's why I really, really maybe overemphasize the strikeouts for a lot of pitchers when
right.
you go in there. Because you're looking at him, even when he pitches well, we're talking about strikeout totals in the sixes, right? So that's a lot of balls in contact, a lot of balls in play. He does keep over 50% of the balls on the ground, so that's always a good thing. And the one thing with Mike Leake last year, I hate to say this for all the people that are going there, you could say he was a little bit lucky last year, and his strand rate was really low, and it might get worse this season.
He got batted by right-handed hitters last year, too. They hit over 300 versus him, and that's not going to cut it.
No, it's obviously not going to cut it. And he's somebody that, you know what? He's still going to go where he normally goes. As I looked in the FSTA last night, a guy like Mike Leake goes undrafted. That's interesting.
Yeah, no, he should.
Should be drafted anymore?
No,
we're at the part where he shouldn't. He's not drafted.
His strikeout rate was too low last year.
See what people make the mistake is that you'll go and you'll look at a guy like Mike Leake, right? And say, oh, it's the 28th round or whatever, you know, whatever round you go in your draft. And you see a guy like, I'll pick Leake. At least he's in the Cardinals, a good team.
Yeah,
like
12, exactly.
Wins.
Yeah, yeah.
You're better off picking a middle reliever that has high strikeout totals.
Interesting.
He's not going to hurt you.
That is a mistake that people make. You're absolutely right. Let's find out. I want to look at these two. We're sticking with the Cardinals, right, for now. Adam Wainwright, the ace of the staff. You don't like him. You don't like him anymore, Corey?
No,
friend of the program.
Yeah, you're right. Friend of the program. What is that organization that they do with the drafts and for fantasy football? Oh, they know, it's the ankle thing.
The ankle thing. Yeah. I looked at his chair, and he's not here.
Yeah, what do you call that? Winning innings or something, you know what I mean? Something like that. I forgot the name of that situation.
It's a great charity, though.
Yeah, it is a great charity, what they do. Tony, you remember the name of that charity?
I'm trying to figure
Adam Wainwright's charity, him
Hold
and his
on,
brother
Mark. I'll figure it out here. Let's see. Big League Impact.
Big League Impact, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, the Big League Impact last year was the first time in his career was the ERA was over 4 and the WHIP was 1.4. Listen, he's coming back from injury, But it was tougher on him last year coming back from injury. His hard hit rate was at a career high. His ground ball rate at a career low. He seems to be a pitcher that's trending in the wrong direction, to be absolutely honest with you. But he is another guy that could bounce back this upcoming 2017 season. He has the name value and the pedigree, so he's going to be on fantasy rosters. But I don't know if I'm in on Adam Wainwright this year, looking at those numbers. Those are going to have to come down, or else he's going to be a tremendous bust. And I hate to say that, you know what I'm saying? Because I know last year he took umbrage with us talking about him on the radio. But if you're out there listening, Mr. Wainwright, I mean, you got to perform, bro.
Yeah, this is a guy, to be honest, he'd have to get to double-digit rounds to even make me think about this. We're talking about a guy 35 years of age that's had injury after injury throughout his career. I'm really concerned about him. He's not a guy that I want to put on my roster. We talk about the strikeout rates, 7.29. That's a lot of balls in contact. Last year, his strand rate was actually a little better than league average, and he still had an ERA of 4.62. I don't know. It doesn't look good. I don't know how this could work out. If it got to double-digit rounds, which he'll never make, but if he did, then I would take a shot.
Last night, he went the 23rd round.
Ooh.
See that?
Yeah.
23rd round.
Adam Wainwright, the mighty have fallen. Listen, if he goes in the 23rd round, Tony, let me ask you this. You get him in 23, and he puts up, you know.
Give me Adam Wainwright.
No, but the ERA is over 4. The whip is 1.4, just like it was last year, but you get double-digit wins. Are you satisfied with that?
No.
Yeah.
No, he wouldn't even last on my roster if he pitches like that. But the thing is, why I would take him in the 20th round, and I'd probably jump on him before then, is that we're only 2 years away from this guy having a 2.38 ERA. Mm-hmm. I mean, right? And then last year, he only pitched 28 innings in 2015, in a 1.61. So basically, the guy had a year in a little excess there, and it was only 2 years ago, of great baseball. So if I can get him in the 23rd round, I'm going to see what I get out of him coming out of the gate. And then if I only get him for a month or two, I only get him for a month or two. But I picked him in the 23rd round. I mean, it's a great pick.
It's a fantastic pick, I think.
He would be so despondent and hurt if he knew that he went in the 23rd round of that draft last night.
He would.
He would be devastated.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Sticking with the Cardinals pitching staff, it looks like the first pitcher off the board for St. Louis last night was
Carlos Martinez.
Carlos Martinez. Where would you have taken him, Corey?
Oh, I would take Carlos Martinez in that 8-9 range. Where did he go?
Seventh.
In the seventh. Okay. So I tried to get him at a discount. But you look at last year, the ERA under 3.5 would be like for fantasy. The whip could be a little bit more appealing. The K's coming in on over 170. Carlos Martinez is a young pitcher on the rise. Definitely right now the ace of this staff. So if you look at that for this year, yeah, if he can get you well over, 100, if he can get you over 170 Ks again, get you somewhere in between that 15 to 17 win range with that ERA and the 3.1s, why not? What's up?
I'm very biased against little guys that don't strike people out. And
you want the Ks to be over 200, Tone?
I want them to get 9. I want the K per 9. I don't really care about the innings.
Total.
To get a K per 9 rate of 9. And he did it in 2015. The problem is the drop-off last year worries me at 8.02 to drop down in one inning. And it was he went from 89 innings in 2014 to 179 in 2015. He put up those big numbers. And then last year went 195 innings, 8.02. He had some issues last year. There was a lot of stories about some issues with his arm. He's a guy that would have to get double-digit rounds before I would take a chance. I'm concerned about this pitcher.
There's something about him, Tony. And I owned Carlos Martinez in that breakout in 2015.
He's still a young pitcher.
No. He's 25 years old.
Yeah.
Right? He is going to be fantastic if he stays healthy and they can keep control. But there's something about him, and it kind of reminds me, Tony, maybe I'm an idiot, but it kind of reminds me of something like Chris Sale. There's something in the back of my mind screaming that this guy, that something is going to go wrong. He has these arm problems. It has been a major arm injury, but he has these arm problems where he goes down, needs to start off. He leaves the start, but he'll come back in 5 days. Something I feel like is just going to go wrong with Carlos Martinez. Is that dumb?
No, it's not dumb, and I'll tell you, it's crazy is that we look at that, and he's definitely one of those guys. But then you look at the tracker, and it's much like what we looked at yesterday with Noah Syndergaard.
Yes,
said,
yes.
You know, we keep hearing the same things, but the Syndergaard, it doesn't add up. He pitched 185 innings in back-to-back years. And Carlos Martinez, same thing, 172, 195. So, but you do get concerned. I think as fantasy owners, you know how devastating it is to lose a guy that you pick early as a pitcher. And you just want to try to make everything go right and make the safest pick.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when it comes to pitches, there is no safe pick.
I agree, and I totally agree with your sentiment. Like, if he gets the double-digit rounds, I have no problem taking Carlos Martinez. I don't think I want to do
you
it beforehand.
You want him as an SP3?
Yeah. SP4,
oh, wow.
I think.
You're not going to get him as a 4, Greg.
No, I'm not going to get him as a 4. But like, because
people are thinking like you. He's a St. Louis Cardinal.
Yeah, oh, yeah, 100%. And, for instance, Corey, we talked about this last week. I think you were here. That in the first 10 rounds, right, you want the average, according to the poll question, was you wanted 3 pitchers, okay? Mm-hmm. And I just told you I'd take him once it gets to double-digit rounds. That's how he's my 4. Last night, when Carlos Martinez was taken, which we said was in the 7th round, he was Charlie Weegert's 2nd starting pitcher.
Charlie Weegert offense must be loaded then. I don't have the draft board up. I got to get a look at this thing.
We'll dive into Charlie Weegert's team when we come back. Here, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, the FSTA Draft. Completed. Yep. Sirius XM draft at the FSTA.
Yep.
And we said we're going to go to Charlie Weegert's team.
Tony, you got this draft board?
Yep.
All right. This is interesting.
Ready to go.
Oh, they put Doc in the draft. Look at that.
Why wouldn't he be in the
he
draft?
He cried his way in.
Why wouldn't he be in the draft?
This is his first time being in this. Oh, was he? No, he was in it last year. No, last year was his debut appearance. So, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how that went over with the the guys, as Ronis did the show solo yesterday, and Dr. Roto was out there. Mm-hmm. Dr. Roto must have a better agent than Adam Ronis.
Charlie Weegert's team with the 5th overall.
That's 5.
5th overall pick. He selected Paul Goldschmidt first, baseman. Tony, we said yesterday morning that was where we would have considered Clayton Kershaw. Would you have gone Kershaw over Goldschmidt?
Yeah, I definitely would have. I think that if I got in this draft, I would have went Clay Kershaw at number 3.
Okay, and that's what we said yesterday, right? You would take him as early as 3. Yeah. I would probably take him as early as 5, we said. And that's the spot, right? That's exactly the spot I would have taken him in, probably. Clayton Kershaw there. Tony.
Yeah.
Goldschmidt,
of course. I think he had the power numbers rebound, and of course you'll lose some of those stolen bases as he had an insane season. So first pick, fifth pick in the draft, not a bad pick, right?
Nothing wrong with that.
I would have pushed back for Kershaw probably into that 6-7 range. I kind of like those power bats right up at the top, that, you know, with that skill set. But we're talking about Charlie Weegert taking Goldschmidt at 5. Then we get Chris Bryant. Then we see Clayton Kershaw at 7. At 7. Mm-hmm. Then my guy goes to our team.
I'm just going down to Weegert's team. I don't need to go down the first round.
Good. All right, so we can stay here.
That's boring.
So let's. And I just wanted to give, you know, the listeners kind of a, you know, whatever. But so he goes Goldschmidt in the first round,
yes.
Right? So now I'm thinking. Now you said he has
yes
Martinez as his SP2. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay,
who's got it?
Yeah. It's got to be some pretty decent offense here.
Right.
I'm looking at this team. I don't.
Not impressed.
Okay. So you get Goldschmidt, then you come back in the second, and you take Madison Bumgarner.
Right.
Madison Bumgarner at this point or the second round, I think this is a great pick.
Okay. Right, so you got no problem with this.
I have no problem with this pick.
So
right
I have a problem with this.
All right.
Because if you're going to draft
Goldschmidt.
If you're going to draft Goldschmidt and leave Kershaw there, like, I feel you should go some more hitting, right? Like, I understand. Like, to me, if you wanted Bumgarner, why not just take Kershaw? Right. Like, to me, take Kershaw and then just, like, dominate the hitting. Like, I know I know Madison Bumgarner's great. I understand that. He's a third best pitcher on the board after Kershaw and Scherzer, and he was the third pitcher taken mm-hmm. in this draft. But to me, I would have just taken Kershaw.
But I look at the value right there of getting
the third best pitcher.
Yeah.
And that's reasonable. Tony, do you like the Bumgarner pick then?
Yeah. I think the mistake is in round 6 with Aroldis Chapman.
Yep.
Okay.
And so what he did here is that if you took Madison Bumgarner, you made a commitment to have an elite pitching staff.
Yes.
And you should have left Chapman on the board, and Carlos Carrasco went two picks or later.
Yes.
I like Carlos Carrasco as the 10th best pitcher off the board. I would have picked Carrasco there.
Okay.
And then went and got a reliever later. And then he would have Jacob DeGrom as his third pitcher. That's like,
fantastic.
He would have an outstanding staff.
Outstanding
staff. So one little twitch to what he did, I think, changed this whole draft.
I agree. Exactly. I very much agree with that.
That was the move. Right? That was the head scratcher right there.
I just don't get it. Like, yeah, you start with Bumgarner, right? You're building up the staff, and then your next pitcher's Chapman?
Yeah.
That's so mind-boggling to me.
He had a chance to really get off to a good start and really look dominant coming out. And listen, he was one pick away. He was one pick off. In the third round, he goes with Jonathan VR, who, you know, some people think he's overrated going into this year. Yeah, you build regression into the game, but still, VR, we already know what he's about. Then you got that premium on stolen bases this season. You got to love Ian Desmond in Colorado, where he goes with his next round. Matt Kemp in five. Listen, as always, injury things, concerns like that with Matt Kemp, but back-to-back years.
See, that's the misconception.
Yeah, but we've seen back-to-back seasons.
Three consecutive years.
Oh, so it's three.
150-plus games.
Of 150-plus games.
Injury games are back-to-back. I was so wrong. So we talked yesterday, Tony. I'm really happy you brought Matt Kemp up core.
Yep,
we talked yesterday about alternative facts, right? Like,
oh.
Like, people believe it's a fact that Matt Kemp is old and he stinks now. And, yep. I'm someone that came in with that preconceived notion. But that's not a fact. That's an alternative fact. Matt Kemp doesn't suck.
No, Matt Kemp does not suck. He's been getting
that's an alternative fact.
Now, what we talked about last week, people were worried about how is that new ballpark in Atlanta going to play
out. We have no idea.
I'm not even tripping off of that. Listen,
it can't be worse than Petco, but that's
exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't have a worse lineup around them than they did. Like, the situation has to be better.
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree with you. The Braves should be better, too. So the lineup should be a little better. Yep. I agree. I like Matt Kemp this year, and I think in the fifth round, it's a good spot for him. We talked about him last week.
We talked about the players, you know, the 92 players that hit over 20 home runs last season. Matt Kemp is going to push 30 to that 30 to 35 range. He's going to handle over 100 RBIs. He's going to get you some run scores also in that line, even with nothing around him. So if you can keep that batting average in that 265 to 275 range, this is an excellent spot to grab Matt Kemp right here. The alternative fact is proven to be incorrect with Matt Kemp's durability after three seasons of playing over 150 games. Then he comes back in six and he has the head scratch.
Let's keep going up. Let's keep going the other way. Because I think three and four are both really interesting, too. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just don't want to skip around. It's Tony's fault.
I'm sorry. This is my.
No, Corey, it's not your fault.
I haven't looked at a draft yet. Something about a draft, I'm always intrigued. Like looking at a draft board, like especially this early in the draft season, to kind of see where people
are. It's the beginning of draft season, mm-hmm. Right? It's the beginning of draft season. And at number three, that was another one that both his third and fourth picks, Tony, were names that I'm very interested to see where they go. That's why I didn't want to skip over them. Because at number three, you have Jonathan VR. And there was always that question, where would VR go? Where are you comfortable at him? He's going to be, you know, he's shortstop eligible. He could be second base. He could be third base eligible. He could wind up being second base eligible when it's all said and done. And VR led the league in steals last year, but the question remains, can he do it again? What shocks me, and maybe this is because I'm not sitting here projecting my team out, Tone, but I'm looking at names, right? Like, I want the better player. Like, I'm stunned you took a shortstop and he took VR over Xander Bogaerts. Like, that seems crazy to me. But is it?
No, it's not crazy because, I mean, if you look at it and you're coming in and say, hey, I'm going to attack these categories, and you look at it, Xander Bogaerts, I believe, had 23, 24, 25 home runs.
Right.
VR had 19 last year. I mean, he had 62 stolen bases to go with it with a 2.5 batting average. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you just went from last year's numbers, you could make the case to take this guy in the second round.
Yep.
I think the batting average obviously is going to drop, and I think, but I say that, right? Even the year before, 2015, he had a limited time. He had 120 at-bats, and he had a .284 batting average, but which is wicked different than the 2014 when he was at .209. I think he hits .250, .260. I think he steals 40 bases, and I think the power is actually real. I think he's going to hit 15, 16 home runs this
year. Now, what makes you think the power is real? I'm trying to understand because I know he went from, you know, two home runs last year to 19 years just that he played 100 more games. Is that what it is?
Even at the minor league level, he had some power. You look at it, at Double A, he had 11 home runs. in 377 at-bats. In 2011, in 360 at-bats, he had 10 home runs. So he did have power in the minor league level. In 2014, between AAA and the Houston Astros, he had 10 home runs. And now we're talking about a player that's getting a little older and getting towards his prime years at 25 years of age. So yeah. I think the home run power is real.
Yeah, the home run fly ball rate doubled last year. So that can, you know, depending on how you look at it, that can put a little bit of fear in you. But listen, like Tony said, that 15 to 16 range is not something that's out of possibility for VR. So, you know.
And then we have to imagine, like we said, the steals are real, obviously. Like, I don't know if he should do 60, but he should do 40 to 50.
The team runs.
Yeah.
They run.
Yeah, I would put him at 40. I would put him at 40. I don't think you can pencil in anyone except maybe Billy Hamilton for 60.
Right.
Even Billy, you can't.
We'll get to him later in the show, by the way.
You can't Billy because you don't know if he'll be in the majors long enough to steal 60 home runs.
You know, screw that. There's no reason to do that later in the show. Why don't we ask him now, right? So Jonathan VR scored 62. Had 62 steals last year. He was a third-round pick based on those 62 steals and his ability to hit 15 home runs. Right? If he has 15 home runs, 40 steals, right? That's great. It's a third-round guy. Early third round, that's where he went. Billy Hamilton is someone you asked about in a poll question, Tony. Like, where do you draft Billy Hamilton? So I know where he went in the FSTA because I looked it up. Corey, where would you have taken him? And you know Billy Hamilton's stats, right? Like, he does nothing but run.
No, that's all he can do. You're playing a premium for stolen bases when you're drafting Billy Hamilton, right? So now we got to put that premium into that.
You
analysis.
Also know, as Tony legitimately just mentioned, we have no idea if he stays in the majors. You have no idea if he stays atop of the order in Cincinnati. I mean, he was dropped to ninth at points last year.
You're still going to pay that premium for the stolen bases. Speed kills. Fifth round.
58 stolen bases. You're taking him in the fifth round.
I'm not taking him at all. I just told
you're not
like,
taking him at all.
No, I just can't deal with the players that can't hit.
Give me what he did last year, which is about 260, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, that's exactly what you want.
Oh, that's the best. Yeah, it's never going to get higher than that.
No, never. Absolutely.
You're not going to get no home runs. You're not going to get no RBIs. You know, you'll get, you know, what he should have for run scores. He's a fifth round guy. That's what I think he went.
Fifth round guy, not even for you.
I agree with Corey because when you look at it from a perspective, you're only looking at a one category player because he doesn't hit any home runs, he doesn't hit RBI. Like, you don't want to get into this situation. Now, I know I didn't look to see where he was drafted in this one, but I know in the poll that sixth round is where most people had him.
In the FSTA, he was the first pick of the fourth round.
Well, see, that's crazy to me. When you do that, and this is an expert draft, it's real disappointing that somebody couldn't make a better team. I hear now, I chastised Greg Ambrosius a couple years ago for doing this, and you know, and he wrote me a 2-page letter on how and I'm saying, if you know what you're doing, there's no way you get in this situation that you need one guy to get 60 stolen bases. You got to build your roster to get 15, 20 stolen bases from each. Or if you want to make this commitment, just go all the way. Take Starlin Marte in the second round and get a guy that can hit you 20 home runs and steal you 30, hit you 300, and not a guy that's in jeopardy that you use a fourth-round pick of being out of Major League Baseball.
And not a surprise, I'm looking at this person's team now at the end. We can go through it whenever.
Yeah, so
but he's got nobody else that's going to steal base.
Yeah, exactly.
No, so literally nobody.
So he might just have Billy Hamilton 60 steals. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That might be his only contribution in the category, which is not going to help him win it. He's still going to finish close towards the bottom of the category. Right. You know, of the category. So when it comes to drafting, like I said, I haven't done a baseball draft yet. But I hate when I see teams and it looks like guys were just out there picking players. You're not just picking players. You're trying to put together a team to, you know, to be able to hit the categories and get the numbers to make you competitive. Don't just go out there picking players. I hate to say it. It looks like Ray Murphy was picking players in this draft.
This doesn't just... And Tony did a really nice job yesterday explaining really how you should build the draft, right? Like, write down everything. Like, go to last year, see what one year your league, and write down and get to those numbers. And there's just no way poor Ray Murphy got to those numbers last night.
He didn't write it down.
He didn't write it down. And you guys,
and you would think at baseball HQ they would have some
beautiful
software.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right?
Yeah, like, you know, Paul, you've been doing this since November. You work for baseball HQ. This is your gig right here. So, I'm not trying to, you know, come down on him because I haven't done a draft yet. He might look at my draft and be like, you suck too. But I don't know.
And you guys are saying, about drafting Billy Hamilton. He is a one-category dude. And the problem is, Tony, last year, given his numbers, like, you're fine. Like, you'll take those stats. But the problem But the problem is, more likely than not, not only is he a one-category guy, but he hurts you in other categories. It's not like he's like, last year, across the board, all right, he was fine. Like, you'll take that. With the 60 steals, he's not killing you anyway. He's fine. But the year before that, he's crushing you.
He's still last year, like, I can't comprehend having a guy in my lineup all year and have 17 RBIs. Mm. Like,
that's crazy.
That's insane.
You have to put him in your lineup every week because of the stolen base potential. But yeah, he's not going to hit you no homers and 17 RBIs.
And to Billy's credit, to Billy Hamilton's credit, which this is, to me, is why it'll never get any better, is he only struck out 20% of the time. So he's putting the bat on the ball. And he's fast, so we should be able to beat out some of these hits.
I'm sure he does.
You have guys in Major League Baseball striking out 30% of the time now. I mean, this guy's only striking out 20% of the time, and yet we hope he hits 260. That's a problem.
But you know what? By the way, also interesting to note, 2015 he played 114 games, 2016 119 games, right? Like, you could just play another 20 games, and you're going to have even more steals, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Here's where Billy, you always got to find the one number that signals why he improved.
Right.
And if he can improve on this. So the problem was in 2014, 2015, he was hitting 37% of his balls in the air. When you run like that, that's the last thing you want to do.
Right.
And you have no power. Last year, his fly ball rate dropped down to 30%. And the ground ball rate went from 41 to 47. So those numbers keep trending that way. Billy Hamilton becomes a better player.
Mm-hmm.
Better enough player, Tony,
is key to him.
That you'll be drafting him?
No, not at all. I can't stomach putting a guy on my roster with 3 home runs and 17 RBIs. You've given up those two categories.
Yeah, I can't do it either. Like, you know what? Give me 3 guys that have 20 steals apiece.
Yeah.
And I'll, whatever, Billy Hamilton. I totally agree. I
can figure it out. You know what I'm saying? You can try to find. I mean, we're sitting here, you know what I mean, doing this. So we're going to figure it out and pass it along to the listeners.
I agree.
Where those sneaky steals are going to be at, so you don't have to pay that premium for Bill Hamilton.
Yesterday, Tony mentioned about first baseman and how that's actually a more premium position, a less premium position this year than the outfielders. One guy that's going to qualify as both was Charlie Wiegert's 4th round pick. We'll talk about that next here on the Roto Experts. Tony, I got to ask your opinion here. What do you think about Meryl Streep being nominated for yet another Oscar?
Meryl's one of those people that should stick to acting. She's very good at it.
That's funny.
Right?
That's funny.
Meryl's very good at it. You know, it's crazy. What would you do in that situation? Like, the Roto Experts in the Morning are up for FSTA radio show.
Do we find that out tonight?
Right?
Is it tonight?
I believe so. So it's tonight, right? So if we won that and you happen to be there, would you use your chance to talk about Donald Trump?
It was different, right?
Well, if you're asking me honestly, there's definitely a chance I would. Yes.
but who's going to know about it? You see what I'm saying? Yeah, that's the problem. You know, nobody is. No, you're not going to get. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to wake up Good Morning America tomorrow morning and Greg Sussman last night at the FSTA Award slammed Donald Trump. You know what I mean? It's just not the same.
It could be on the FSTA TY news desk with Ashley Docking.
That's true, too. You know what I'm saying? You can make news that way, but I don't know. If Sussman, I'm not going to speak for myself because I wasn't asked the question. But if Sussman, Greg, if you're going to go in at the FSTA Awards, you gotta make sure that you know, it makes Good Morning America.
Yeah, it's true. Another note unrelated to baseball that I want to mention. So Pro Football Talk tweeted this out. Dak Prescott has some great advice for incoming draft picks. Everyone is watching everything you say and do. Which is great, besides the fact that he got, like, arrested for DUI last year.
Who?
Dak.
Before the season started.
Before the draft. So everything's watching. Everyone's watching what you say and do. Be careful. I got a DUI, so I forgot about that.
He didn't know it then. See, that's how he knows.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Yeah. I guess you're
and
right.
He even got his boy Zeke, you know what I'm saying? Had the Snapchat incident and a couple other things. So
marijuana incident.
Yeah, the dispensary, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So everything is being monitored as they go through this process.
Oh, interesting. Another crazy note from the MMQB. Erin Andrews revealed she was diagnosed with cervical cancer last year.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Just released.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So I hope you with best wishes.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Profitable, but tough.
Let's get back to baseball here. The fourth round pick, Charlie Weegert, was Ian Desmond, for new first baseman for the Colorado Rockies. Yeah. Now, Tony, everyone is going to jump on the Desmond bandwagon. He's in Colorado, playing 81 games at Coors Field. Are you in on Ian Desmond in the fourth round?
Yeah, I could take him in the fourth round. I don't think, am I crazy about it? No, but you can definitely use him there. I think when you look at the numbers in Texas, I think the one misconception is that the numbers get better. I think that it's going to be very similar to what he did in Texas. He had 22 home runs last year, 20 stolen bases. So if you're getting a 20-20 guy in the fourth round, you've got to be excited about that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said that. And he has a good batting average, too. I don't think the home runs go up. I think he has the same numbers this year as he did last year,
yeah,
which is good enough to pick in the fourth round.
Agree with
I think so, too.
20-20 guy, 270 to 280 range for the batting average. Definitely a fourth-round draft pick. Now here's my thing, though. Okay, what's his, you know, like I said, it's been hopping back into truly running and managing the season-long fantasy baseball team. What's going to be, what's going to be his position? Eligibility.
First base and outfield? So he won't start with first base eligibility. He'll start with outfield eligibility.
Okay.
Then he'll gain the first base eligibility eventually.
But he doesn't lose the outfield eligibility.
No.
So you're all right. So that makes him even more appealing. Because once you get to that point of the season where you pop him into your first base slot, you know what I mean? Or, you know, whatever you want to do. So different ways you could put the team together with Ian Desmond on it. What would be your strategy, Tony, if you were drafting Ian Desmond this year?
Well, I think that he becomes a little more valuable in the types of leagues like that now drafting the NFBC with those slow drafts with the 50 rounds when you have no pickups during the year. Now you get an outfielder and a first base eligibility. Because I would think that most people are going to use him as an outfielder. I think when you have five outfielders in the league, mm-hmm. That he'll come and play. But when you have players that have multiple position eligibility, it's always a bonus in a league where you don't have trades or pickups.
Charlie Weegert will probably be using him as an outfielder, as you expected, because Paul Goldschmidt is his first baseman. Mm-hmm. And then you got Desmond and Kevin in the outfield. It's a nice outfield start, I think. Right?
Yeah.
Not bad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, very good there. I mean, we're talking about right now he's got 75 home runs between his first three picks, 50 of them in the outfield. I think that you're going to like this team, I think.
Yeah, it's coming together nicely besides the Chapman thing.
Yeah, which was next in the sixth round. He takes Aroldis Chapman, Jansen went before him. So Aroldis Chapman, the second closer off the board. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Why now?
I'm trying to figure out why Erickson did that. Took Jansen as the first.
He took Kenley Jansen in the fifth round.
Yeah, around Chapman as the first reliever off the board. I don't know. Be honest with you, that's some kind of words you don't want to say on the radio. Is I don't know, but I can't figure it out.
when you go and you look at that situation, though, I mean, you could go either way. I mean, Aroldis Chapman, if you wanted to nitpick. And try to figure out there. Like, I mean, you could flip a coin. Oh, he's in the ballpark. He pitched a lot of innings in the postseason last year. He had to throw more innings. I mean, it's a reliever there. So I guess you could make the case. I have no idea what his thinking was.
I am either. So we're kind of equal on that. Then you get to Carlos Martinez. We talked about Jake DeGrom last week as well. Let's continue this top 10 here. His ninth round pick was Kendrys Morales. He's the DH, obviously, in Toronto. This is a pick I like, Tony, because we're just talking about getting categories. In Toronto, where they get the secret juice, he'll be hitting behind Troy Tulowitzki, Josh Donaldson, and Jose Bautista. Kendrys Morales is a good value pick, I think.
I do, too. I really think that this guy is going to have a good batting average. and could come close to, he's getting out of one of the best pitchers' ballparks in baseball to one of the best hitters' ballparks. And it wouldn't shock me if he had 30 home runs.
Yeah, I think 30 home runs is definitely on the horizon to go along with a batting average in the 280s, maybe even get a chance to drive in 100 runs. He's in a good spot this year playing for the Blue Jays. So you see his numbers basically tend to stay the same. Now, the batting average, I think, helps when you go to Toronto also. So Kendrys Morales.
Everything goes up.
Morales, you know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I like Kendrys Morales. And we got to remember, Toronto made their stab here. Like, they didn't wait on Encarnacion. They didn't do anything. They basically signed Morales day one, seemingly, of free agency. So Morales is somebody that I like. Is the ninth round the right spot for him, gentlemen? Or do you think you could have waited a little bit later, should have been earlier? What do you think about the spot for Kendrys Morales?
Switch hitter with a good skill set like that, I don't have a problem with it.
I always tell people, if you like a guy,
just take him.
Go out and get him, because you never know, especially when you're in an expert draft. Everybody generally knows what's going on, and it's just very tough to wait. And then I'm looking at this draft board, and as far as DH goes, I don't see anyone here that Miguel Sano had already been picked. He'd be a guy that I would think that are very similar places that they would go. I think he went right where he was. I think if he didn't pick him, he could have lost him by the time he picked again.
Yeah, I think so, too. Looking back at Morales' numbers last year, he doesn't really strike out all that much. The average 263, but his BABIP was outside of the brutal 2014 that he had. The BABIP was 283, so it was pretty low for him. He usually has that around 300. So the average should go up a little bit. I expect the on-base percentage to also go up a little bit if we take out 2014 yet again. And this is a dude that hits around 30 home runs, right? So, like, yeah, he's good. I like Kendrys Morales this year. That's a good pick.
It was the increase last year in his home run to five ball rate, so that led to the power surge.
And, like, and he's going to a better stadium.
He's going to a better stadium for that. He's a guy that gets out there and plays just about every day. So, listen, I have no problem with that right there.
We'll continue going down, Charlie.
Charlie Wigert is starting to win us over.
Good job, Charlie. We're gonna come back here right up at the top 10 for Charlie and continue on with his team, because Jake Lambs, I think, is a very interesting name. That was his 10th round pick. And then we'll get into, you know, the rest of the draft.
He went back-to-back catches in 11 and 12, too.
He went back-to-back. No, he didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read the wrong thing. Okay. He got one.
He got one catcher. We'll talk about him too. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, chatting some baseball, in particular Charlie Wiegert's team. I think we're going to do this, Tony. A little team a day action. Just take our time, go through a team. That's how we'll figure out the players to talk about, obviously. And we get to Jake Lamb finishing up the top 10. Jake Lamb, a nice year in Arizona last year, but Arizona should be getting a little bit healthier now. Jake Lamb in the 10th round, overachieved a bit, I think, last year, came back down to earth a little bit in the second half. What do you think of Jake Lamb?
I'm not a big fan of Jake Lamb. I would go a little. Now, he hit 29 home runs, but we broke down the home run situation in Major League Baseball, right?
Yep.
We had 90 people that hit 20 home runs. He had a 249 batting average. I think he hits right around 20 home runs. The one thing you got to worry about is the possibility that Yosemite Tomas takes some of the
right
action over there at third base. He's terrible against left-handed pitching, so he could get a platoon at some points there. So I think it's a little early for me on Jake Lamb.
He had a big drop-off in the second half last season. So that's kind of where you see more of what he really was. So the kind of player that he really is. So
I think it's crazy if you just look at some of the stats, right? Like, his isolated power went up from 123 in 2015 to 260.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, it is.
So here's Jake Lamb in the first half, 291, 291, 20 home runs.
Yeah.
The second half, 9 home runs, 197.
Yes. This isn't a guy I want on my team.
Well, listen, if he plays at the first half level, he's an elite fantasy contributor. We got to figure out what was it that happened to where he dropped off. Did he regress to the player that he really is? Was it an injury he was masking? You know, what was the reason for the second half slump?
So are you in on him then? You're not going to hear anything.
In the 10th round, a player with this kind of... I'm looking at some of the stats for this year. The BABIP was below average. Oh, mm-hmm. boy. I don't think so.
Jake Lamb, and remember,
the K rate is horrific.
So assuming that these guys, that the rest of the team is healthy, right? Like AJ Pollock's back in center field. Of course, we'll get to him, in the coming days. Yasmani Tomas is back in the outfield. David Peralta is back in that outfield. He's not going to get time in the outfield, right? And then you get to third base, and like I feel like him and Brandon Drury are going to spend a lot of time. Like I don't know. I don't know if what's going to deal at second base and shortstop. Like Kettle Marte is there. Nick Amen is there.
The manager did say that the manager said he sees Lamb as a. This is a quote. The manager said that
new manager.
The new manager
Torrey Lovullo.
Lovullo says that he sees Lamb as an everyday player in 2017.
Oh, that's good to hear.
I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. This is my first work time dealing with Torrey.
I don't know about Jake Lamb. The jury's out on him.
Okay, put it like this, fellas. Let's say he says 260, 19 home runs, 75 RBIs.
In the 10th round. I'll take Jake Lamb there. Tony?
I think it could. It would depend on the roster construction of my team at this point, and then I look at it. At this team, I like the pitching staff that he's already got assembled. I'm looking at some of the guys that were picked after him. I would have skipped this pick. I would not have made this pick. I would have went with some of these other things. Some of these guys, like I look at Marcell Ozuna in Miami.
Right.
I could see going him a little later there. I'm looking at 10. A guy like
yeah.
I'm looking at a couple other guys.
I could see myself taking, I know you don't love this, Tony. Like, I wouldn't have taken Aroldis Chapman. I could see myself taking a closer here, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't see myself taking Jake Lamb here. I can even see myself taking who we take in the next round.
Jesus. I'm just looking at this team now that you just mentioned that. Did he get another closer? Did he only pick one?
And he picked up A.J. Ramos in the 14th.
Okay. All right. Jesus, what a waste that would have been.
Kind of like Billy Hamilton for the other guy. I would have probably actually even made who he picked in the 10th round I would have taken, which is JT Realmuto, right? Like JT Realmuto is is somebody that, as a catcher, I think he's pretty good. Like I was surprised that our own Mike Cardano talked Yasmani Grandal 2 rounds earlier. I like Realmuto. He had a good year for Miami. I'm surprised to see him last in the 11th round, Tony.
Yeah, so Realmuto is one of those guys that offers something different than the other position. Like we talked about first baseman that steal bases yesterday. Now, nothing's crazier than a catcher that steals bases. Last year, he had 12 stolen bases. At AA in 2014, he had 18 stolen bases. So I think you get double-digit stolen bases from this guy. And the one thing is, he's one of the few catchers that doesn't have a batting average that hurts you. But he does come up light in home runs compared to other catchers.
Yeah, that's the thing right there. He comes up light in, like Tony said, the home runs. But listen, I mean, what he did last season with the steals was impressive for a catcher. You know what I mean? But really, when you can put a catcher to put that kind of bat in your lineup, the 280 to 300 type range, that is definitely inspiring for JT Realmuto. Pulls the ball a lot, so you can obviously see a chance where you can see some more home runs come out that bat too. But the BABIP. In 2016 was 357.
Jesus.
So I would have took Grandal over him too.
How come? Because of power?
27 home runs, 15 home runs. I'm gonna give away the batting average. Better batting order to hit in. I think I'll get more opportunities.
Okay.
For RBIs and runs scored there. I think The home runs there, the trade-offs home runs for batting average. So
yeah,
if you have a decent batting average, you'll be all right.
And then with the 357 BABIP, you know what I mean? And then the fact that the dude doesn't really walk a lot, you have to be careful with that batting average. Because if you're going in banking on that batting average, if that drops off, then you really have like a guy.
All right, Tony. All right, Tony and Corey. So is it then fair to say that we should expect regression from JT Realmuto?
Yeah, I think so. I think that is fair to say that you should see some regression. Unless
.303.
So if he was to bat .285, would you consider that regression? That's regression, right?
So both steamer and depth charts projecting about 274. So 275, let's say.
So that's regression.
Home runs go down. Runs go. Everything goes down. Mm-hmm. Besides the RBIs, which slightly go up, and steamer has them actually going down. So yes, he regresses according to the projections. So yes, that is regression.
So I'm not. Then you can't really pay for it. You have to be. This is a player to be careful for.
Yep. Yeah, he just gained a little red mark mm-hmm. on my list. I probably should write these notes down so I don't forget them. But I'm not going to.
Well, talking about it helps remember it.
All right, we get back. Times. I know. We're going to talk to you guys 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. The Roto Experts comes back right after this.